with all that, I'd just like to acknowledge my co-authors, John Monura, Gary Gamble, and Devrin Thibodeau from Clemson, doing the spinning test for us. Roy Baker, a lot of this with the solid lint cleaner was kind of his brainchild early back in the 1990. He just finally got around to building it in 2000 and before he left. And then Carlos Armijo from Las Cruces, and then Ed Barnes, Cotton Incorporated. They do a lot of support and also fiber quality, as well as Devrin. Basically, the gist of this, I'm not going to read these slides to you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that, you know, the thought was, all right, we need to look at another technology to precede solid lint cleaner. You have two solid lint cleaners, one technology precedes the other, you have inefficiencies. So there had been a lot of look at and research on pin cylinders before, and Roy had this other idea and said, all right, let's try this other means of doing this and increase the efficiency and see if we couldn't basically develop something that could replace the first stage of lint cleaning. So the idea was a solid lint cleaner. Of course, that was coupled with Ed Barnes' challenge to let's see if we can't do lint cleaning other than Sol-Tite. And so we said, all right, so we developed the prototype. We did the initial testing. That was positive. We did another round of testing. That was positive. The test I'm going to talk to you about are really tests 3 and 4. 4 is in the process. I'll just lead into that one. 3 is mostly what I'm going to talk about. In the presentation, they're called tests 1 and 2 just because the order of what I'm presenting. But they are really the ones where we're actually making the selection on which one of these lag sets, these pin design configurations, does the best. Based on fiber quality data, based on production data for lint waste turnout, also based on spinning data with the Clemson lab. So we wanted to go beyond just HVI. If you're not familiar with the solid lint cleaner, this is basically it. No brush. It just has a lot of saw, a lot of bars, 22 grid bars to be exact, and it says they're adjustable. We don't adjust them. We adjusted them to begin with. They are configured a little differently as you go around in sets of 4 and 5. And then, of course, you have the conventional condenser material on the top and the feed works. This is a close-up of what the saw of the cylinder is. I don't know. Is this, where's the mouse? Okay, that's... Anyway, the lag set is the spiked areas with the... there's 10 of those that go all the way around, and they just lock into each other. So that's what I'm talking about in regard to lag sets. For the first test, or this test that I'm going to be mostly focusing on, we had 9 different types of lag sets, or 9 different pin patterns, densities. And we wanted to select the top 3 based on spinner criteria and Jenner criteria. And what I mean by that is, historically in the past, at least from my perspective, from the research I've done, I have a slant towards the Jenner because I'm working in the gen. Well, I said, well, all right, let's look and see if we do this analysis and we come out with some variables that say, yeah, these are great. And what would a Jenner look at versus what it is that the spinner would take a look at? And then let's see if we combine those and we put those into some means of gathering all that and giving us a score, which is what the desirability function is. That's basically what they do. It's just a nice means of taking all your data, putting it together, and saying, here's a score. And so we take this information and said, are we going to get different scores if we have this criteria and this criteria? And what are going to be the top 3 based on those, from what the spinner and Jenner would look at. There's the varieties we looked at from the first one. We had 3 varieties. And we were, for the first test, everything was paired with the conventional Sol-Tite lint cleaner that we had in the gen. And so we had all the, everything was associated with the differences. For the second one, we looked at the top 3. We chose the top 3 from each group, and I'll show you what those are. And then we ran 4 cottons. There were 3 varieties. One of the varieties was field clean and non-field clean. Every one of these was stripper harvested. The difference was whether you had a field cleaner or didn't have a field cleaner. And then, of course, once again, we looked at the production, fiber quality, and spinning data. When I talk about lag sets, this is some of the patterns that we talked about. From a cross roll, perspective, we had three of them. We had a high density, we had a low density, and then we had a low density with the pins at a 10-degree angle. From the reader, or writer, however you want to say that, we had straight, the densities were the same, one straight, one's angled at 10 degrees. Truchler, same density, straight and 10 degrees. And then we had what we called a USDA pattern. The top one, the USDA original, is the one that Roy himself actually developed. The bottom one, the USDA straight, is the lowest density pin pattern that we actually had. And both of those pin patterns were straight. None of those were on an angle. For the data, really, when we took the data, what we said is, all right, you have all these variables. Every single one of them that you can imagine, you have about 45 variables that you're dealing with. If you take all the HVI, all the APHIS property, all the spinning data, and the production data, and you say, all right, we're going to just look at the ones based on significant difference. Those that were significantly different for that lag set from the conventional, those are the ones that we're going to pull in and take a look at. And then once we bring those in, we're going to, you know, because the question is, all right, what are you going to do? You're going to normalize everything? I mean, how do you put that in an equation? How do you say, okay, here's my NEPS, and then here's my length, and then what are you going to, you have to normalize that stuff to add those in equation, and you're going to give them a weight? Or what are you going to do with those? And so we focused on the differences, and based upon the differences, then you brought those into the different equations, which is at the bottom. Basically, you had the desirability function where you didn't weight anything. It's okay, here's the top values. We're going to put these in and go. Then you weight them, saying, okay, here's the number one, here's the number two, three, and four. And then the cluster mean. The cluster is just a nice way of saying, if I have 45 of them and 20 of them are popular for the Jenner, do I take all 20, or do I look at them from the, how do I group those? That's what really the cluster analysis is. And that's what it did in, for the ginning, there was 5 clusters. For the spinning, there was 7. So basically it broke it into 5 groups and 7 groups. So it takes all those variables and boils it down to 5 variables and 7 variables. That's a lot easier to deal with. Here's the common variables that were selected. The top ones that are in red, that was true for both spinner and ginner. The ginning variables plus BRD, loan value, moat, weight, turnout, and then the spinner ends down, long, thicks, thins, major faults, and minor faults, open cleaner waste, total card waste, and yarn strength. Here's just an example of a desirability function. I didn't throw it up there to look impressive. It's just that it looks really complicated, but it isn't. It's just a nice way of bringing it out. I did that for Sid because I knew Sid would. I'm going to get a picture for him later. Hang on his wall. Test one results. We'll go with these on the turnout. What you see here, these are the differences. So as you can see from left to right, with the cross roll low 10 degrees, obviously if it's positive, that means the difference was positive towards the pin cylinders. If it's negative, which you see with the USDA straight, it meant the conventional was better than the actual USDA straight pattern. And of course, on all these, the USDA straight was significantly lower than a lot of the other ones that just have A's at the top of them. You see bail value, the Truchler was real positive, so was cross roll low, the reader with 10 degrees was, Truchler 10 degrees wasn't. The total card waste, Truchler 10 degree did wonderful on that. Didn't have a good bail value. So you can start seeing a trend there that, okay, that wouldn't have been good from a spinner, but all of a sudden now, from a ginner, but if I look at it from a spinner perspective, I'm saying, well, that's not bad. If you look at ends down, obviously you see that, all right, the conventional being negative, so the Truchler 10 degrees had, the conventional actually had higher ends down than the Truchler 10 degrees, the USDA straight. Straight or the reader, whereas the USDA original and the cross row high, it's saying that there were higher ends down associated with those lag sets. So all that boils down to, okay, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to select? All right, so here we go. As you can see in the no weighting, the numbers that are the highest, the Truchler at 0.687 had the highest. That's number one. The cross row high was number two, and the cross roll low was number three, without any weighting factors whatsoever, saying, okay, here, take my cluster values, here they are, there's the weighting. If I add the weights based on, all right, well, you know, that all these aren't the same. Every grouping of those clusters are not the same. This one over here with bale value, I would say that's a lot more important than this one over here with trash. And so that showed that the Truchler was still, actually was number two in that one. Cross Row High was number one, and the Reeder was moved to number three. And then also when you looked at the mean of the clusters, you basically had the same ranking, except the Truchler was number one. From the spinner, all right, we start off Truchler, Reeder, and then Cross Row, and the USDA straight jumps in there with the weighting and the means of the clusters. So you sit there and you look at that and you say, well, how are you going to gather those together? Truchler showed up in all three categories in both groups. It was either one or two in both of them, so that was selected. Looking at your left, going over to the Jenner, the one that showed up in two of the three, all three of them also was Cross Row High, so that was selected. It did not show up at all in the spinner category. The Reeder was number three in the Jenner, but it was also number two in the spinner. So when it all boiled down to it, we were able to select four of them. It just, they nicely married that the top two in each group kind of fit the others. And here's the groups. Truchler, Cross Row High, USDA Straight, and Reeder. Obviously the USDA Straight was strictly from the spinnering category. The Cross Row High was strictly from the ginning category. And the other two were a blend. Currently there's spinning tests that are being conducted. HVI and APHIS data is being compiled for this. And we're finishing with the fractionation and Shirley analysis. Our plans for this is to build a prototype model and go into the field this data in, and we take a look at it and say, all right, of these four, let's go to the field, take a prototype model there for a 66 Horn and Gladden, anybody running one of those, and we're going to go in there with that because we're going to use our cylinder, and we'll go ahead and put it in there with the lag set that's chosen, and we're going to give it a test on a full-scale gen, see how we do. And then report the results. That's it, fellas. Thanks.